Hey everyone, happy Thursday. I pray you all are having a wonderful week. I'm getting ready to allow you all to listen to a replay of an episode that I did with my mom and my sister in 2021, so 2 whole years ago, entitled Managing Relationships. I was trying to figure out what topic I wanted to cover. Holy Spirit reminded me of the season that we're in. And the importance of stewarding transitioning relationships, managing the current relationships that we have, as well as welcoming new relationships and connections in order for us to advance into purpose and obtain what it is that we need to obtain, because we cannot go about this life alone. God created us to be lovers of people and created us to have community. And so, enjoy the episode. I truly enjoyed it. It's one of my favorite episodes to this date. And so be blessed. What's up, everyone? Happy Monday. I hope you are all able to have a great weekend. For me, I would say this was a pretty sad weekend. I'm not sure if you are all familiar with the rapper, songwriter, and actor Earl Simmons, aka DMX. But he died on Friday from a heart attack caused by a drug overdose. And when I read that, I was like, And that made me do just a little bit of research about his history and who he was. And there was this article I read that like really just it does did something to me to the point where I want to share it with you all. And so here it is. This is from the Mercury News, and it says during an interview with the rapper, and of course I'm going to abbreviate because we don't got time to be doing all this reading. During the interview with the rapper, DMX revealed how his addiction started at age 14 when a 30-year-old musical mentor offered him a marijuana cigarette that he didn't know had been laced with crack cocaine. And now this is DMX speaking. This guy, he introduced me to the best part of my life, which would be the rap. But like an older brother, he also introduced me to my greatest curse. I didn't smoke cigarettes, weed, I didn't do anything. He passed the blunt around and I hit the blunt. And then I never felt like this before. It effed me up. And then I later found out that it was laced with crack. But why would you do that to a child? And this is now, the article author writing. He was 30 and I actually, wait, just kidding. Why would you do that to a child? He was like 30 and he knew I looked up to him. Why would you do that to someone who looks up to you? And I thought that was just freaking crazy. And then, you know what? I realized that a conversation needs to be had about the people we choose to surround ourselves with and trust and engage with on a day-to-day basis. And who better to have this conversation with than the people I surround myself with every single day, my support system. And so today I have two very, very special guests that I would literally lay my life down for, who have supported me through and through, my mom and my sister. Say what's up, y'all.
Hey guys!
So, how are you feeling today?
Feeling pretty good.
Feeling pretty good,
I got my
Tasha?
girls around.
I'm in a good mood. The weather's nice. No
Can we talk
complaints.
about how this weather has been great for the past couple of days? Like, I came to California. I just knew I was about to be in some cold weather, but it has been in the 70s, and I'm like, Lord, you know what? He is good.
I just don't want to jinx it. I just hope spring is truly, truly here. I
Yeah,
want to put these coats up.
I'm not ready to put any sandals on just yet.
You're not ready to put samples
No, I
on.
mean, I want to, but I just have a feeling that if I put them on, then it's going to be like 40
Like, just
degrees
kidding.
tomorrow. Right. So I want to
JK.
wait till I see that the weather is consistently warm, then I'll put away the other shoes.
Well, hopefully, God, you hear what, our grievances are. You're in charge of Mother Nature and all that. You need to make sure that this goes as according to our plans and that it stays hot. But you know, let's kind of just get into this conversation. So I know you all heard me reading, you know, that story of DMX. What are some things that just came to your mind? And I know we've had this conversation amongst, you know, our family group chat, but I'd love to kind of talk about it a little bit more with the people who are part of this podcast.
Well, I too read the article where he talked about his mentor, and that just struck a nerve with me because I feel like we really have to be an example to our family members. And it's just really unfortunate when we encourage and entice them with behaviors that are ultimately destructive. So I really sympathize with his DMX's family. And my heart really, really goes out to his children because I just can't imagine. I just can't imagine losing someone or even losing someone or not being able to be there for someone with such an issue. It's just heartbreaking.
What about you, Tash?
Well, when I think of the whole situation about how he started on this journey of, you know, a roller coaster, what it makes me more upset about is the fact that it was someone that was obviously older than him that his family entrusted him to be with and take care of him and, you know, let him basically raise him in that rap world or whatever else. But it's just very upsetting to me because, I mean, I don't know his family dynamic, but for me, I have a child. And whoever I leave my child in the care of, it's like I'm literally trusting my child with you. So I know, well, I make sure I know what kind of character this person has, what kind of family they have, what is their environment like, you know? And I mean, I just always make everything personal. Like I would literally kill whoever that person is. Mm-hmm. If my daughter came home telling me that she done, somebody done gave her a blunt, she thought it was some weed and it was something else. You know, first of all, you shouldn't even be introducing anything like that to a kid in the first place.
But it just speaks too to the mindset. Like what, it's not funny to allow kids to, mm-hmm. I mean, if we can get personal, I remember being at a family function when you guys were young and babies and someone went to hand you a can of beer. Oh, let the baby just taste. No, you're not going to let the baby just taste.
Absolutely not.
People are really,
you know, and cool. I literally did not speak to that family member for quite some time. It was so very, it was just.
It ticked you off.
But some people think that kind of behavior is cute. They condone that kind of behavior. I mean, I don't know. I feel like there's levels to different things. If you want to do it as an adult, you're grown. You make your own choices, but don't try to impose these ideas and these behaviors on these young impressionable kids
because they can't deal with it. Just think about us and having to deal with adult issues and adult decisions and the repercussions of drinking and smoking. Mm-hmm. A child can't handle that mentally. So I mean, again, going back to the article, it's just unfortunate because I can only imagine at age 14 you're dealing with peer pressure, you're dealing with who knows what the family dynamics was. He was just excited about being able to make money for his family and things like that. So that was, the pressure had to be enormous. So even if he didn't want to or thought that it was wrong, hey, my mentor is doing it, so it must be okay.
Yeah, like, or maybe this is the kind of music he's able to produce under this, whatever it was.
Kind of like,
whatever.
If he can do it, I can do it too.
Right. And he's okay. He's got X, Y, and Z. He's surviving. He's fine. He's feeling good. He's looking good, dressing nice.
And I think, so for me, when I read this, one, of course, like you all said, it was just crazy the fact that, one, the parents allowed these things to happen or people turned a blind eye. But for me, I started thinking of, you know, the importance of having the spirit of discernment. Right? Like even at such a young age, because like you said, he may have just been so excited. He wasn't even trying to look and see the type of person that he was surrounding himself with. You know, I'm just going to do it because right now it just looks good. It feels good. But I think the spirit of discernment is so necessary And for those who don't know what discernment is, it's the ability to obtain sharp perceptions or make smart judgments about something. So I kind of want you all to talk about how, because one thing I will say about my mom, about Tashae Caprice Jackson, is that they have a strong discerning of spirit. So they can literally read people, be like, oh, that person ain't right. That person ain't right. I'm not bringing my child around this person. I'm not going to have this person be a part of my friend group. How has, you know, your spirit and ability to discern who are good people or who are bad people, how has that played out in your life?
Well, I would just start off and say that I'm a very non-friendly person.
You're not friendly. But I think that's key. Like, I think people look down upon people who may not be friendly. Mind you, we're not supposed to be friends with everybody, because everybody ain't
friendly.
Your friend.
I don't think it's a matter of being friendly or not being friendly. You just don't let everybody in. Because all four of my jewels, you, even if you don't care for a person's character, you are never rude.
Right.
So
right.
You can be respectful and not be welcoming.
Right.
And people perceive that as not being friendly. And I don't think everyone does not deserve to be in your inner circle.
No,
and if you don't let them in your inner circle, that doesn't mean that you're not being friendly.
Well, that's true. Like with me, I can be in a room and I can be, you know, hello, I'll greet you, I'll be respectful, I'll be cordial, but I don't have to have a conversation with you.
Right.
Like, I don't have to talk to you. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. I don't have an attitude. I'm just preferring not to indulge in any type of conversation. I don't want you to get to know me, and I don't want to get to know you. And it's okay. I don't have
it really
to.
We
don't have to. But, you know, I may a lot of times come across, what is the word? Stuck up or... Yeah,
bougie.
Maybe. Yeah, but like,
that's the famous
like,
family
okay,
name.
Well, that's
bougie.
Fine. Okay, right. That's fine. I choose to carry myself in such a way where... I do not need anybody other than Tierra of Jackson, Rhoda Melvin. Like, I mean, that's it. I don't need all these extra spirits. I don't got time to be trying to discern nobody knit. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then if you do allow a little open door to let some more friends come in or maybe get to know someone, disappointing. Humans are disappointing, mm-hmm. period. So I can see him, if I can just look at you or hear you speak for a little bit of time and I know that you ain't right.
What about you, honey?
I think that I've had such a strong relationship with God that I know, you know me, I'll talk to anybody, but I analyze everybody. Mm-hmm. And that is good and it's bad in some situations, because while I'll say it's good, is I'm going to sit there and watch how you speak to people. I'm going to sit there and watch how you deal with money. I'm going to sit there and watch what you may or may not encourage me to do. And that will determine your place in my life.
Right.
If you think of your life as a sphere, and you see you have the spheres, and you have the little rings that go around the sphere, we could have people that you went to high school with, people that you grew up in the projects or in your old neighborhood with, that's the outer sphere. How we connect, the things that we have in common, and how we walk through this life together determines how close you get to the circle. So I don't discount anyone. Yeah. I mean, you know, you hear the old adage that you know, you love people with a long-handled spoon.
From afar. Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you ever kick anybody out your life or discount them, but they have their place.
Yeah. I think for me, in terms of the spirit of discernment, I can say that I have seen that play out more and more most recently. Like, ever since I moved to California, I've been introduced to a lot of people. And I started noticing, like, while I'm a very friendly, I'm a social person, I started noticing around those people, like you said, not everyone is meant to be in that immediate circle. Not everyone is meant to be a part of your tribe. And, you know, I'll be honest, at some point I was like, you know, is this wrong for me to feel this way? Like, I feel like I should be more accepting and loving. And it's not being unloving and it's not being non-accepting. You're protecting yourself, because sometimes there's demons on people. Let's keep it real. Let's keep it spiritual. Like, there's demons on people. People can have ulterior motives. And I'm big on intuition. I truly believe that our intuition is literally just God speaking through us. So if you immediately are speaking and I feel something off about your character, I am not going to question it. I'm going to say, okay, what? I'm going to keep you at an arm's length. I know that you're either supposed to be here for this reason, or I'm only supposed to talk to you maybe once a month, or I'm only supposed to talk to you for this person, but you will never be a part of my circle. And I think, you know, that's kind of a good segue into us talking about our support system, our tribe. Why do you think it's good, it's important for us to have, you know, a tribe, a good support system?
Because we're still growing. Mm-hmm. We're still growing. We're still evolving. And we need, okay, if I could say the elements of the circle that I have and that I know I need, mm-hmm. you need that person that, one, is going to fight for you no matter what. Mm-hmm. You need that person, two,
that's we gonna fight for you no matter what.
Of course. And you need that person, two, that's going to check you, that loves you enough, respects you enough, and you respect them enough to they can sit there and say, just shut up, because you're sounding like an idiot right now, and you not take offense to it and not want to speak to them ever again.
Yep.
You need that person, those people that one, at the end of the day, you're going to end in prayer. They're going to hold you down. They're going to hold you down spiritually if they know, or when they know that you're not thinking right, you're not acting right, or even if they see that you're in a position where you can't hear or you don't want to hear,
mm-hmm.
then they know at the end of the day, who's in control and where their ultimate resource is. We're going to cover her in Christ. And again, this is going to be the last one. You need people that will protect you in private. If you're going through something financially, if you're going through something emotionally, spiritually, with your spouse, with your friends, with your family, I am that person that I'm going to help you pay your rent if I have to. I'm going to help you bury the body, but I'm also going to, nobody's going to hear about it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You hear people say, if you ever want to have a secret, if you don't want somebody to know, don't tell nobody. No. You should be able to tell somebody. You should have somebody in your circle who's so intimate with you that will literally die with that secret.
Yeah. I'm going to the grave with all y'all secrets. What about you, Tash? Why do you think having a good or a support system is important?
I truly believe that no one can survive by themselves.
Yeah.
No matter how independent that you may be, you always need someone else.
Yep.
You need community. You need advice. You need conversation. Even if you're a private person, you need someone that is going to speak life into you, because you can't be strong all the time.
That's just bad.
You can be the healer, you can be the solution provider, but who's going to feed or pour into you when you need that?
Because
you will be depleted at some point, or multiple times. So it's important to just be trusting of other people, of a certain amount of people, or maybe some designated people that you truly trust, that can hold you accountable, that can see things that you may not be able to see, that knows you almost better than you know yourself,
mm-hmm.
and can point things out when you may not be able to notice things. So
now what about those people, right? Now what about those people who don't have that support system right now, and they're looking to try and expand and create a tribe? What advice would you give them in terms of like vetting new people or figuring out what person or who they should have in their circle? And because that it's honestly very difficult having or establishing, you know, long-term mm-hmm. relationships as an adult. So what advice would you give to someone who currently is looking to expand their or grow their tribe?
Okay, so in every relationship, there's always a common interest. Maybe you feel like that person, there's always an attraction there. Mm-hmm. Maybe you like the way that person looks, the way that person dresses, the way that person carries themselves, the way that person raises their children, the way that person commands an audience, commands the attention, who speaks well. There's always an attraction there, or a common interest. So if you enjoy something, there has to be something that you enjoy doing. Start there with an activity or something like that. There's different groups. There's meetup groups, there's team groups, there's Eventbrite. Just take a chance, step out, take a risk and do something new or different, and just put yourself in the company of others that share the same interests.
That's so true.
I think Tesha hit it spot on. Did. If I could expound on that, the only thing that I would add is put yourself around people that not only have common interests, but either are involved in something you're aspiring to do, aspiring to be. It's almost as if I want to say,
that are better than you.
Grab the crowd that intimidates you. Somebody that's going to make you be better, a better version of yourself. Someone that's going to teach you something that you don't already know. Yeah. The key, though, to being in that kind of environment is being objective and not afraid for somebody to sit here and say, look, you spelled that wrong, or look, you need to go read this book and, you know, for this to help you in this area of your life. So I guess it depends on what you want, one.
Yeah,
and two, good. You know, I always say to you guys, discipline is the difference between what you want now and what you want most. Do you want to be comfortable right now? Or do you really want to grow as an individual?
And I would think, though, because y'all literally touched on everything, the only thing I'll add is I don't think people understand or utilize God enough in this regard. Because one, when it comes to just like relationships or establishing new relationships and determining whether or not like this is something that can be long lasting, ask God about it. Be like, hey, yo, is this person cuckoo? Like, is she crazy? Is she out? Is she gunning for my spot? Is she really going to be supportive? Mm-hmm. Is this really going to be a mentor? And I kid you not, God will show you. Literally every single man that I've dated, I've asked God, I'd be like, hey, yo, is this nigga crazy? Should I be, should I be continuing a relationship with him? And I kid you not, maybe like 2 weeks or less, he will show me something that showed me that they were not for me. And it's just like as clear as day, even to the point where you're like, you know what, God, I really want some people in my circle. God will begin to bring you into spaces or bring people to you that are meant to be for you for the long run. So that would be the last thing that I add.
If I could just do a circle back.
Yeah.
Don't discount people, because some people just may be there to teach you something for a season. Now, if it's not to be your lifelong friend and buddy, that kind of circle, they may be the catalyst to get you to where you're supposed to go for the next phase in your life.
And it could not even be for you. It could be for them.
Honey!
Because I know I just had a situation, okay? And I thought everything was all good. And obviously, my impact on their life was necessary for them. It wasn't in the reverse.
And I think that's true. Because we are meant to serve. That's why we're created on this earth. We're meant to serve. We're meant to love others. But I think even with that, We're not meant to serve and pour into others from an empty cup. There should also be those people pouring and serving us as well.
And being fed.
But y'all literally just touched on the next thing I wanted to talk about, managing transitional relationships or transitioning relationships, managing those relationships that are changing. Like you've had those long-term friends or those friends from high school that you're noticing that they may not be able to go with you from this level to, you know, the next. So two questions. One, how do you realize that, you know, how do you notice that a certain friendship dynamic may be changing? And then two, how do you navigate that transition? Because that's something I'm currently dealing with. Mm-hmm. I feel bad that it's been changing or my relationships are changing because I am just loyal to a fault. But I noticed that those changes are necessary. So for those who are also trying to navigate changing relationships, what advice would you give them?
I don't think you have to kick anyone out of your life. And I think I had this conversation with you too. It's just like growing. You shed dead skin. As you continue to grow and evolve, people will fall off because either they're not gonna support your growth, they're gonna be uncomfortable with who you're becoming, and there'll be a visible disconnect.
Yeah.
But I would just tell them, my advice to them would be to just continue growing, continue going in the direction that you're going in. Learn to have self-assessment moments where you check yourself and make sure you're not driving people away because your behaviors or your situation is causing you to change your behavior. Mm-hmm. to where you now become judgmental of other people and put yourself in a different status or level above them. You're just evolving, becoming a better version of you, not a better version than them.
Mm. Mm-hmm. What about you, honey?
You don't want to hear what I got to say.
Say what you got to say.
My thing is, you're exactly right. Like, there's no conversation needed. Like, it is what it is. It's no love lost. Maybe there is some love lost with me. Okay. But what I'm saying is like, okay, we're growing apart. Things aren't the same. I don't talk to you as often as I used to. Our interests, they don't match up. You know, maybe there's been a transition period in my life or their lives, and we just can't find the connection anymore. And it's okay. Bye.
I think where that becomes a question is people get hung up on thinking everybody you meet is supposed to be
your friend for life.
No,
no, no. I'm sorry. I didn't invite you to my birthday party because I didn't even think about you. I didn't. I love you. There is no doubt about it, but you ain't about to be involved in every single thing.
That was a little facts.
Yeah. You look at my social media. We still friends. Look at the photos.
And so what is the conversation or the response that is had when the person on the receiving end of your transitional phase saying, hey, Tash, hey, mom, or Ro, I'm noticing that you may have been a little distant. What's up with that? I feel some type of way about us no longer talking as much as we do. What's the conversation then?
I think people just,
because a lot of people may take offense to, you know, the transition.
Because I think it depends on where you are mentally.
And maturity.
Yeah, because everybody grows at different stages. And that's where you truly see that respect comes in at. If the person really truly respected you, they might be a little frustrated initially when the cord is cut, but as they heal on their end and you heal on your end, they'll realize that that was necessary or it was better for them, because they could have been becoming dependent on a relationship, and nobody should be dependent on another person, anyone other than God. Yes, God puts these people in your life to help you grow, but it shouldn't be to the point where you necessarily are dependent on talking to that person every day or dependent on that person.
And then there'll be leeches at that
point. Honey,
people love leeching.
Had this conversation, and a lot of people don't understand how relationship is people relating. You should be feeding me as much as you need me much as you're being fed.
Yeah.
And when you don't have that and you're constantly in a relationship where you're draining or being drained, you need to assess that.
I believe if someone comes to me and it's like, look, Tash, I know we're not as close as we used to be. I would like to hang out. Maybe we can do some things. Maybe I'll take a look at myself and say, all right, where did I switch up? Like, how did things change? Right. Where did the shift take place? If I feel like it may be worth, you know, continuing that connection, that relationship. Maybe we used to, I don't know, have play dates with our kids, right? And now our kids live in two totally different areas. They don't really have any the same interests and stuff like that. So maybe we don't do play dates, but maybe instead of doing that, involving the kids, maybe we can do other things. Maybe we just go to get our nails done, or you come get your hair done, or, you know, like something like that. But I would, if I believe that it was worth the time, I would take a look at myself and say, okay, what is another way that we can, you know, stay connected or continue our bond? Because sometimes it's literally no love lost. It's just you get lost in life. Life is busy, you know, or I haven't talked to you in months or even seen you in a year, but I can send you a text message and it's like, the love is still there. We have a conversation, sit down for a little cocktail. It's like, wow, I missed you so much. Or it could not be that.
Mm-hmm. Would you ask the question? That, like, would you ask that person, well, why are you so broken up about it? Like,
because they love you.
No, but seriously,
that's why they be broken up about it.
But the response could be different. What is it that you miss about our relationship?
I wouldn't ask that.
I don't know. You know me. I think I'd ask.
We do know.
Even
I think because
Because that's an inside joke, you guys.
Because that person can really be missing how you enable them, or how you provided for them, or you know, like, what is it that you miss about our relationship?
But somebody popped up in my mind.
But no, what I will say too is kind of to that point, it makes me think of, and I'm now countering you, honey.
You're the accountability part. No, make them accountable.
But it makes me think of moments where we're like building a business, we're building an empire. And honestly, we may not just have that time to talk to other people, but just how you said, there are people who pour into you and feed into you and are part of your tribe and who do these things for you. You are also those things for other people. And so if someone were to say, you know what, I miss this, I think that's the lens that it may be coming from. Like, you know what, I miss hanging out with you. Like, I miss our conversations. I miss that.
Well, that goes to what your sister said. She might take a step back and say, well, where did I shift?
Right. And because I think that's where we should look into. Yeah, you know, I really love that point that Tashay said, where just having that personal accountability, because sometimes it's not other people, it's really us who are the ones that are just changing and, you know, kind of put other people to the side. And all in all, what I think, to Tashay's point earlier, everyone needs people. Regardless of where we are in life, we all need people. We need good quality people in our you know, group. And I think to that point, the last question I'll ask you is, how is it that you set boundaries with your support system? So for instance, let's say you may have talked to one person 4 times a day or 4 times a week in one season, but God has you in a place where you're building and you're moving, and you know, I can no longer talk to you as frequently as I did. So how do you place those boundaries with those people, especially when there are times where you're kind of transitioning into a new space?
Is this like when you used to call me 4 times a day, but since you joined your podcast now, I might get a call every night?
First of all, I still call you like 10, 20 times a day.
Well, that don't apply to us, because I don't care what y'all got going on. I better talk to y'all more than 3 times a day.
So I think you're probably referring to outside of us. Well, and that's the thing with me, and I'm still struggling with that. The other,
the rest.
Them out there. I think that I struggle with that. I struggle with boundaries, because when you're in, you're in. You know what I mean? So I give you my all. You always have access to me. And that could be, I mean, not even could be. That's definitely something I need to work on. But I'm very mechanical in my processes. So for me, I would have to set literally clockwork. Like, okay,
that's real.
You can only talk to your friends from 6 to 8.
Yeah.
From 8 to 9, you can do social media. Yeah. From 9 to 10, you know, you need to be getting your stuff ready for work tomorrow and getting your time to bed, because you got to get up at 4:45.
Mm-hmm. And I think too, to that point, one thing that I have been realizing is that there are times where people call you for things that just could have been a simple text message, and they want to be on FaceTime with you, and they want to talk to you about X, Y, Z. And I'm like, hey, you literally could have just texted me all of this. Like, I think, and I don't, I'm
they
trying
know
to,
how
I'm
you try, are.
But I'm really trying to work on this, because I prefer with certain people, mm-hmm. I would prefer for you to just text me. Don't
me
call
too.
Me. Don't mm-hmm. call me if it's not.
I prefer that.
Like, I don't need to talk.
I prefer, I need to analyze
but
your
that's
text
because
message.
Because at the end of the day, time is of the essence. Time is moving. That is something that we can't get back. And I literally, that's something that I hold true. Like, if you're, I'm not about to be on the phone just key-keying with everybody. Like, I'm not about to just, I don't have that type of time. We all don't have that. We got work mm-hmm. to do. Like, I don't have time to be just talking about your brother and how this and this. Sometimes I personally got a lot of stuff going on to the point where I can't take on your burdens as well. I'm
First
sorry.
First of all, how about we just say you don't want to talk to them?
Because that's people not nice to say.
You're not being a friend.
Sometimes some names pop up on my phone. I be like, why are they calling me? Then I let it ring 3 times and it's the 4th still there. I'm like, let me just go ahead and pick up this phone.
You know, that's something I need to work on. I think we all need to work on, but I'm digressing. So you all know my tagline. I'm the accountability partner, and I will never leave people without action items to do for the week. Now, right now, we're going through something called a self-evaluation. That was the accountability partner of last week. So what would you advise, I guess, the listeners right now in terms of how to go about, you know, their current relationship? What are some action items you would give them regarding that?
Oh, me first.
Go ahead, honey.
I would say jot down these five things. List five things that you bring to the relationship.
Woo! Accountability!
And five things that you take from the relationship.
Ooh.
And really take a good look, deep dive. Take a look at that.
Yeah.
Because you could find that you're the one that's
the unhealthy part of the relationship.
I keep
losing all these friends, and you know, people love saying that. I keep losing all these friends. People ain't right. And you be the main one who got all the issues.
Exactly. And you can do that from, you can use that, the five. You can use that process for work, for your same sex relationships, for your opposite sex relationships, for your family dynamics.
That's a good point.
Do that. I'm telling you, you will have a whole nother look at yourself when you do that.
What about you, honey?
Action items.
I'll say this because it's like on my brain right now. I would say, kind of to mommy's point, or kind of to the action item before that I said last week, look and see where you are currently and determine what it is that you need from your environment and from others to succeed. And then just determine based on the people who you currently have as your tribe and in your support group and your environment, whatever, determine whether or not you're getting those things from those people. And now too, if you're not, is it a conversation that needs to be had saying, hey, you know, this is kind of something that I need from you, blase, blase, blah. Or is it something where it's just like, maybe I just need new friends. And then too, really determine if these friendships are really helping you excel in some sort, because a lot of relationships are making people digress instead of progress. And if at any point you notice that you're digressing and not progressing, a shift needs to take place.
And when you do, just to add to that real quick, the thing that you had talked about last week, when you do the look at, you said have them, you're going to have them look at where they currently are.
Yep.
When you do that, don't compare yourself to where somebody else is.
Mm-hmm.
Your evaluation should solely be based on where you were yesterday, because you are the only you're trying to be better than.
Woo! You are the only person you're trying to be better than. Stop comparing yourself to these fools. They don't care about you. They don't care about you. Everybody has their own journey, their own lane, their own path. Say that one more time. Let me put the mic closer to your mouth. Say that one more time.
You are the only person you're trying to be better than.
Woo. A word.
And we have some last parting words for my first jewel.
Yep.
I would just say, just evaluate what kind of people that you're attracted to. Maybe you're attracted to the people that really don't benefit your life much. They don't bring any value. Maybe they don't really hold any weight or serve a purpose. Or just identify what is within yourself that allows those people to be such an attraction. And then if you think of those things, if you analyze those things, if you're really upfront with yourself about those things, maybe you might not like what is being revealed and maybe you want to make some shifts.
So you've heard the action items. I'm not going to list them because I got to go back and listen to remember, but those are all critical. I'm going to go back and listen to them and read it and do them this week. When I think about the conversation that we're having, this scripture comes to my mind. It says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools.
Hello.
Of fools suffers harm. So if you want to be wise, you know who to surround yourself with. But if you want to go ahead and act like a fool, or if you're trying to figure out why are you making me laugh? If you want to figure out
why
you're acting like a fool, then look at your current circle and see, you know what, maybe I need to make a shift, because I'm not trying to be out here dumb, young and dumb.
I don't want to be old and dumb.
Oh, we don't want you. Oh my gosh. A fool.
Bullified.
Fool. Oh my gosh.
No, we don't want to be
dumb. We do not want to be dumb.
Maturity has nothing to do with age.
We are trying to. So you know what too? I'm thinking of Psalms 1, and the verse that I just read was Proverbs 13:20. And the scripture that I'm thinking about now is Psalms 1, which it says, blessed are those who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So I'm going to just leave that with you all.
That's a mic drop.
Mic drop. And for those who don't know, my mom and my sister, they are both entrepreneurs. So I'm, of course, going to give you all a brief moment.
Yes, a shout out.
Yes, because this is what support looks like. I'm going to give you all a brief moment to talk about your businesses and where the people in them can find you.
Oh, thanks, honey. Well,
oh, Lord.
Yeah, honey,
I am Rhoda Williams, aka Thoreau Financials, which is a full service accounting firm. You can reach us on thoreaufinancials.com. Play on words right there is Thero, the row.
Period, because you're the one and only row.
Yes. Okay. Thoreaufinancials.com. And you can also reach me on social media at Thoreau Financials on Facebook. Just Google me, or you can reach me through my maiden name, which is Gail Williams, and you also see the tag for the Thoreau Financials.
Did you just tell them to Google you? You say you Googleable?
I'm excuse Googleable.
The heck out of me. Miss Googleable. Okay, Tash, where can the people and them find you?
You can find me on all social media platforms, T Classic Salon. Spelled
oh,
right
you
there.
Have a salon?
Mm-hmm.
I know what kind of salon you got.
You see my hair.
I'm a natural hairstylist. I specialize in all types of natural hair braiding, styling, healthy hair. That's me, T Classic. I love the kids, no matter what age they are, send them over here.
Now, one thing I will say about both my mom and my sister's businesses, and I'm not just saying this because, you know, I'm related to them, because there's people I'm related to who I would never, you know, book with. But my mom has been doing my taxes since I don't know how old, and your girl always gets a hefty refund. I've also deductible? She's been maximizing my deductible.
Strategically aligning the avenues that we have through the federal government
to reduce my tax liability so I can get a good refund, because what? I'm trying to be where the money resides. And then my sister has been doing my hair for I don't know how long. And I know a lot of people say that they love, you know, my natural hair. I have have very, very thick hair, and she is the reason for it. So the last thing I say is that you all know that we are currently doing this reading challenge. We are right now and on day 12. How have you all been doing in this?
I've been struggling. Your girl has been struggling trying to get the read at 6 o'clock. At 5 o'clock. Uh-huh. Let me just be clear. But what I do is I bring my daily devotional. It sits on my desk
praise
at work.
The
so
Lord.
I don't get it in as soon as I get up in the morning. I get it in before the end of the day.
Well, the one thing I will say is that regardless of whether or not you wake up at 5 a.m., 10 p.m., whatever. I just want to make sure that we are making it a point to read, to edify ourselves, to grow and learn day to day. So the last thing I will leave you all with.
What if you had like 5 last things?
Anything. Anyway, the last thing I will leave you all with is this quote from the late and great DMX, which says, "We each have a star. All we have to do is find it. Once you do, everyone who sees it will be blinded."
Love it.
I want you to penetrate on that this week. Knock out those action items. Meditate on the scriptures that I've shared and be amazing. I love you all. Peace.